الرحمن الرحيم وصلى الله على النبي الأمي برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم.
Respected listeners, we were discussing the beautiful life of the great Sahabi Urwa ibn Mas'ud al-Thaqafi رضي الله تعالى عنه, and how through Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم's efforts he came to the deen, he changed his life, and he had concern for his people. He returned to his people to invite them to Allah, and whilst inviting them, he became shaheed, he was killed. He then forgave those who harmed him, and he asked Allah to guide them, and he requested them that do not take revenge for my life, but if you want to do something good, and what will please me is that you unite and you become Muslim. He left this world. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam receives the message. He was hurt by what happened to Urwa radiallahu anhu. So he said, مَثَلُ عُرْوَةَ مَثَلُ صَاحِبِ يَاسِينَ. Urwa radiallahu anhu's parable is that of the man mentioned in Surah Yasin, Habib Najjar. Whilst inviting his people to Allah, he became shaheed. His people then prepared a delegation that let us now look into this Islam, because Allah made it such that what happened to Urwa affected their hearts. So they prepared a delegation and they now come to Medina Munawwara. Whilst they are coming to Medina Munawwara, namely Abdi Alil ibn Amr, with him were two from the Ahlaf tribe, the senior tribes. Ahlaf are six tribes: Abduddar, Jumah, Makhzum, Adi, Ka'ab, Saham, senior tribes. So two representatives of these Ahlaf tribes, three from the Banu Malik tribe. And the man who was responsible for the shahadat of Urwa radiallahu anhu was from the Banu Malik tribe. His name was Aus bin Auf. When they arrive closer towards Medina Munawwara, or they approach Medina Munawwara, they stopped at a point called Qanat. This is an area or a region. And there they find Mughira bin Shu'bah radiallahu anhu grazing on his turn the flocks of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Sahaba radiallahu anhum would take turns in these duties towards the community. And when he sees this great happening, meaning this delegation is coming to embrace Islam, there's a Jamaat coming to change their life, he runs towards Masjid al-Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And en route, Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu meets him. Abu Bakr asks him, what is happening? He says, the people of Taif, whom Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made so much of effort for, du'as for, are coming to embrace Islam. They just have a few conditions, and they have few, you know, requisites. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu says to Mughira, O Mughira radiallahu anhu, I insist, aqsamtu alayk, la tasbiqni ila Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, don't supersede me to Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I want this privilege of informing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam of this great incident. Allahu Akbar. My respected listeners, think for a moment. Think of something you love most, and are you prepared to part with that for Allah's sake to someone else? Are you prepared to give up something, a privilege, a benefit, something that gives you pleasure and happiness for the next person, for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala? Imagine Mughira radiallahu anhu, who knows Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is most senior and is always ahead in all good. But Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu's request and Mughira radiallahu anhu's wish was to be the means of that smile on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's face. But he gave in. He gave in to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Mughira radiallahu anhu gave in. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu goes to inform Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But what does Mughira radiallahu anhu do? He gathers this delegation. He shows them where to keep their camels. فَرُوَّحَ الظَّهْرَ مَعَهُمْ. He shows them where the camels should be kept, where should they be grazed, and so forth. And then he says, let me have one short ta'aleem with you all. وَعَلَّمَهُمْ كَيْفَ يُحَيُّونَ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. He informs them that now you are entering Medina Munawwara, the city of the greatest of Allah's creation. Let me teach you how to greet Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. He made a ta'aleem for them and he taught them. So what we learn, that if someone did something for deen, we can still do something else. If someone fulfilled one task, there's so many tasks and responsibilities and duties to do for the deen of Allah Ta'ala, that we should not give up, but we should serve and strive. But anyway,
Now they arrive in Medina Munawwara. How did they greet Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? With the greetings of Jahiliyyah. So was Mughira radiallahu anhu's efforts wasted? No, it wasn't wasted. What we learn from here? Tolerance. With new people, we have to teach many, many times. We have to teach again and again and again with tolerance. And one day, inshallah, one day they will come fully onto deen. So let's take that lesson here also. Tolerance with newcomers. Allah give us tawfiq.
An example of being soft with people and teaching them politely and repeatedly is like when we teach our children. Sometimes the same thing we have to teach so many times. But that's what parents are there for. And like for example, crossing the road. You won't just tell your child one time, but we will practically show the child and repeatedly teach the child. So teaching other children as well, teaching the ummatis of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as well. So we learn from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the art and the method of how to teach. And very important in that is politeness and tolerance. Allah give us tawfiq. Now they arrive in Medina Munawwara. They were welcomed. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prepared something, a special place for them in Masjid al-Nabawi. قَدِمُوا عَلَى رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ ضُرِبَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ قُبَّةٌ فِي الْمَسْجِدِ. A little tent was pitched for them in Masjid al-Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or it can also be understood to be in the sahan of the Masjid al-Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We learn another lesson there. The importance of being in the environment of the masjid. Being in the masjid and being in the environment of the masjid. That's why coming out in Jamaat is so beneficial. It's because you are in the masjid all the time. And you leave actually to meet brothers and bring them to the masjid. Even when you're having your meals, you are guided on the etiquettes of the masjid. When you are in the masjid, you taught and reminded repeatedly of how to spend your time in the masjid. Have respect for the masjid. But every salah, one is there for. Every sunnah, one can practice. Sunnah salahs, one can perform. So being in the environment of the masjid has a great effect on the heart of a person. That's why the hadith is actually clear. In one hadith, Ahmad, Musnad Ahmad reports from Uthman bin Abi al-As. And he says, "Anna wafda thaqif qadimu ala Rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." This delegation of thaqif comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And fa'anzalahumu al-masjid. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was hospitable towards them and gave them a place to stay in the masjid. Why? Not that there wasn't other places available. The reason, لِيَكُونَ أَرَقَّ لِقُلُوبِهِمْ. So that the masjid will make the heart soft. Subhanallah, subhanallah. So if we want our hearts to be softened, it's going to take place in the environment of the masjid. And there are so many ahadith in regards to this. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَنْ أَلِفَ الْمَسْجِدْ أَلِفَهُ اللَّهِ. The one who loves the masjid, Allah loves him. In another report, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ لِلْمَسَاجِدِ أَوْتَادًا. The masajid have pegs. Al-malaikatu julasa'uhum. Meaning these pegs, what's meant by that is those who frequently attend the masjid. And they love to be in the masjid. Not just for fard and out, but they love to be there. Al-malaikatu julasa'uhum. Such people, the malaika are their companions. In غَابُوا يَفْتَقِدُونَهُمْ. If these people are absent for some reason or the other, some excuse, some problem, some trouble, the malaika look for them. وَإِنْ مَرِضُوا عَادُوهُمْ. If they fall sick, the malaika come out to visit them. وَإِنْ كَانُوا فِي حَاجَةٍ. Now they had come late for some reason, some work, some responsibility, some duty, the malaika come out to help them. أَعَانُوهُمْ. So Allah make us of the people of the masjid. Allah make us of masjid wale. And even in the Quran Kareem, Allah Ta'ala speaks of this. Fi buyutin adhina Allahu an turfa'a. Meaning Allah Ta'ala speaks of Allah Ta'ala's houses that Allah has instructed that it should be respected, turfa'a, respected, turfa'a, raised, built, revered, and also kept clean, turfa'a. This ayat is linked to the previous verse where Allah Ta'ala speaks of the nur of Allah. After أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم الله نور السماوات والأرض مثل نوره كمشكاة فيها مصباح المصباح في زجاجة الزجاجة كأنها كوكب دري يوقد من شجرة مباركة زيتونة لا شرقية ولا غربية
يكاد ليتها يضيء ولو لم تمسسه نار نور على نور يهدي الله لنوره من يشاء ويضرب الله الأمثال للناس والله بكل شيء عليم. Then في بيوت. So Allah Ta'ala speaks of the nur of Allah Ta'ala and the parable of Allah's nur in the heart of the believer, and also there comes the example of the olive oil and the example of the believer's iman being so, the iman that's in a person, the faith that's in a person, and then when it's combined to Quran and it's connected to deen, how that nur is enhanced further and further. And the parable there is the parable of the olive oil. And that is linked to the next verse, because the question comes about this nur of Allah Ta'ala, where is it to be found? So Allah Ta'ala says in the next verse, fi buyutin adina Allah an turfa. You want to find Allah's nur? You want to find this hidayat that is being spoken about in this verse? It is in the houses of Allah Ta'ala. So we learn, if we go masjid and we connect to masjid and we link our lives and revolve our lives around masjid, then we will get the nur of iman and we will get more and more hidayat. In one hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who beautifully said, مَا تَوَطَّنَ رَجُلٌ مُسْلِمٌ الْمَسَاجِدِ لِلصَّلَاةِ وَالذِّكْرِ إِلَّا تَبَشْبَشَ اللَّهُ لَهُ كَمَا يَتَبَشْبَشُ أَهْلُ الْغَائِبِ بِغَائِبِهِمْ إِذَا قَدِمَ عَلَيْهِمْ. When the believer frequents the masjid and he with importance attends to the masjid for salah, for dhikrullah, for deen, for Allah's sake, that whenever he comes, Allah becomes so happy, so happy. And the analogy is that of a person whose family is awaiting him. And after a long journey, he comes home. How happy do they become? His wife and his children become so happy on his arrival. Allah becomes more happy when the mu'min who frequents the masjid comes to the masjid. So Allah give us tawfiq to frequent the masjid. Allah give us tawfiq to love the masajid. In one hadith, Anas radiallahu anhu reports, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Man asraja fi masjidin sirajan. The one who lights a lamp in the masjid. So in this, today's context it will be, he becomes means of electricity in the masjid and so forth. Man asraja fi masjidin sirajan. The malaika, and the malaika of the arsh, wa hamalatul arsh, will make dua for him, as long as that light is existing in the masjid. And then the hadith says, that cleaning the masjid, cleaning the masjid, وَإِنَّا كَنَسَ غُبَارِ الْمَسْجِدِ, cleaning the masjid becomes the dowry of the حور العين of Jannah. This hadith has some kalam in regards to it, but there's so many reports in regards to the virtues of the masjid. The first sahabi to actually kindle a light in the masjid, a lantern in the masjid, was a great sahabi by the name of Tamim al-Dari radiallahu anhu. And interesting about this sahabi is he actually met Dajjal. And anyway, when he came to Madinah Munawwara during the latter portion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's beautiful life, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw these lanterns in the masjid. And Allah's Nabi asked, who did this? They said, Tamim, Ad-Dari. Allah's Nabi said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nawwarta al-Islam, Nawwara Allahu alayka fi dunya wal-akhirah. You have enlightened Islam by bringing beauty to the masjid. You've made Islam look so beautiful. You've enlightened Islam. May Allah enlighten your way in dunya and in akhirah. And Allah's Nabi said, if I had another daughter, I would have done your nikah with her, had I had another daughter. So Nawfal bin Harith radiallahu anhu says, because he's also from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's family, Nawfal bin Harith, O Nabi of Allah, I have a daughter that's available. And what an achievement the Sahabi has done. O Nabi of Allah, my daughter is at your disposal. O Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So in that, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made the nikah of Nawfal's daughter, Mughira was her name also, and with the Sahabi Tamim al-Dari radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So how much of barakah Allah gave him in the world also and in akhirah also for serving the masjid. How much of barakah goes with being connected to the masjid. So Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq to always be connected to masjid and bring others to the masjid, connect people to the masjid, and also tolerance in the masjid. This masjid has etiquette, but sometimes a person comes to the masjid, maybe he will cross before you, in front of you, while you are performing salah. Teach him in a loving manner. Many a time it happens that person is new to Islam, he didn't know. Sometimes he comes to the masjid, so teach him in a kind manner. Like Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught the delegation of Ta'if. And the Sahabi radiallahu anhu would bring meals for them and make their khidmah was a Sahabi by the name of Khalid bin Sa'id bin As. This was whilst they were residing in Masjid al-Nabawi under the care and hospitality of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Khalid radiallahu anhu would bring any messages for them, or he would take a message from them to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he would bring meals as well. But see, when he would bring the meals, they wouldn't just eat. He would make sure he tastes it first. Actually, their hearts were in fear. What was their fear? That how could this be true? That Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is so kind to us in spite of our hostility towards him. We ill-treated Islam and the Muslims so much, and they are welcoming us in such a manner. This is like, it doesn't make sense. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was so kind to them. Khalid radiallahu anhu would partake of the meal with them, and then they would also participate. And daily Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would allow them to sit with Sahaba and learn, but he would give them time personally. In the riwayat of Abu Dawood, Ibn Majah and Musnad Ahmad, from a Sahabi by the name of Aws bin Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu, he was also from the delegation of Taif, Thaqif. قَدِمْنَا عَلَى رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ فِي وَفْدِ ثَقِيف. We came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with our delegation, and Mughira bin Shu'ba would take care of us. فَنَزَلَتِ الْأَحْلَاف, the people of the Ahlaf tribes, the different senior tribes would be taken care of by Mughira bin Shu'ba radiallahu anhu. Anyway, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kept the Banu Malik also in this tent by the masjid, and every night he used to come by us, the people of Taif, after Isha, and he would teach us. يُحَدِّفُنَا. And sometimes he would be standing and he would be teaching us for a long period of time. And we would have so many questions to such an extent that Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, while standing, he would actually take rest on one feet and then on one foot and then on the other. حَتَّى يُرَاوِحَ بَيْنَ رِجْلَيْهِ مِنْ طُولِ الْقِيَامِ, because of the lengthy stand. And he would always teach us about his beautiful seerah. فَأَكْثَرُ مَا يُحَدِّثُنَا مَا لَقِيَ مِنْ قَوْمِهِ مِنْ قُرَيْشِ. He would say that this is what happened in Makkah, this is what Quraysh did, this is what happened then in Medina. And then Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, from weakness Allah gave us strength. وَكُنَّا مُسْتَضَعَفِينَ مُسْتَذَلِّينَ بِمَكَّةَ. In Makkah we were oppressed, and they put us to a lot of disgrace. And then Allah brought us to Medina Munawwara, and this happened in Medina Munawwara. كَانَتْ سِجَالُ الْحَرْبِ بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَهُمْ نُدَالُ عَلَيْهِمْ وَيُدَالُونَ عَلَيْنَا. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is recapping his beautiful life for the people of Taif, because they are embracing Islam now in the last stages, in the latter stages of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's beautiful life in Medina Munawwara. So in this hadith, Aws radiallahu anhu says, one night Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't come in his normal time. الَّذِي كَانَ يَأْتِينَا فِيهِ. Normally he would come at a certain time. It's not that he told us he's coming at a certain time and he didn't come. He would see that we are in the masjid, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's masjid, and we would be occupied with the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, learning from them, learning with each other, recapping what we're learning, and daily he would come to us after Isha. It's not that he told us he's going to come after Isha. But one night he didn't come immediately after Isha, he came sometime later. Remember, my respected listeners, it wasn't that Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made an appointment and didn't make it. No, they were his students, so he had kept them in the masjid, they were free, and he would come to them at his time because he had so much of other work to do. But normally he came for a few days in a row at a certain time, and the one night he didn't come at that time. So they asked, لَقَدْ أَبْطَأْتَ عَلَيْنَا اللَّيْلَةَ. O Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you took longer today. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that إِنَّهُ طَرَأَ عَلَيَّ جُزْئِي مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ. I hadn't completed my daily recital of the Qur'an al-Kareem, which I have to complete. I felt it inappropriate. فَكَرِهْتُ أَنْ أَجِئَ حَتَّى أُتِمَّهُ. That I come until I complete my tilawat of the Qur'an and my dhikr for the day. So we learn from here the importance of giving time to people. Yes, that is very, very important. And then we also learn in this report the importance of giving our time in seclusion with our Creator, our remembrance of Allah, our tilawat of the Qur'an al-Kareem. In this hadith, in Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's teachings to the people of Taif, we learn the importance of that. That daily we should take our time and make the dhikr of Allah and make the tilawat of the Qur'an and remember Allah profusely. Daily, this should be something that's done punctually. Hazrat Haji Abdul Wahab Sahab Rahmatullah Alayhi, who passed away a few months ago from the Markaz in Raiwind, would often say that daily we should take out time for our infiradi a'mal, our individual deeds for Allah Ta'ala's pleasure. And we should do it punctually at a specific time. And when we do that, Allah becomes so happy. It's like as though Allah Ta'ala wants us at that time to specially leave everything else and remember Allah Ta'ala. So to say, Allah Ta'ala looks forward to that time that we will take out to remember Allah Ta'ala profusely. Yes, we remember Allah Ta'ala all the time. But taking out time also is important, like we learn in this hadith. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. Very often the delegation would ask Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam questions, and he would welcome these questions. And it's so ajeeb, it's so beautiful when you go out in the path of Allah Ta'ala and go in jamaat, go with different people, take new brothers out, and people have an opportunity to ask questions, things that are troubling them for so long. Now imagine, my respected brothers, Allah give you tawfiq, and you come out in Allah Ta'ala's path, and you go with your imam of the masjid, you go with the ulama, you go with pious people. At night also you get a chance to ask them things that are troubling you all your life. That few days in Allah Ta'ala's path makes a change. Because a person didn't have the courage to ask. He didn't know how to learn. He in madrasa, he didn't complete his studies. Sometimes he forgot how to read the Quran. Now, he's in the masjid, he's in this environment. What happens is shauq, this desire for deen is increased. This love and this talab for deen is now enhanced. So what happens is a person wants to learn more. And the opportunity is right there because he is in the environment. Because also whilst one is out, he meets ulama, he meets pious people, and he is in that environment. So there's such a great opportunity to learn when we are in the masjid. Now sometimes when people are new, the questions they ask also are very, very far-fetched also. Like the people of Taif, they were very, very far from deen. But Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam drew them closer slowly. So after asking so many questions and he answered them, towards the end, after listening, one of their seniors, one of their leaders said that, okay, we know that Tawheed, to worship one Allah and not ascribe partners unto Him. But we are new and we can't destroy our idols. At-Taghiyah is their idol. So, O Nabi of Allah, allow us to keep this idol that we have, you know, for 3 years. We won't worship it, but it will stay there in our region. أَيَّدَ عَلَهُمُ الطَّاغِيَ ثَلَاثَ سِنِينَ Taghiyah's name was Lat, the idol of this. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this is not possible. In this regard, this is not possible at all. So they kept on requesting, okay, what about for 2 years? What about for 1 year? What about for a few months? Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I cannot specify a time for allowing the idols. You all are the seniors of the town, this has to be eradicated. This has to be removed. So, but they said, O Nabi of Allah, what about the foolish amongst us? They will not be able to accept this. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you don't have to remove it with your own hands, I will send my Sahaba radiallahu anhu. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I will send Abu Sufyan bin Harb and Al-Mughira bin Shu'bah radiallahu anhumah. And they would go and, you know, remove all the fitna and these idols and so forth. Because this delegation came on behalf of the entire Taif to announce that all the people of Taif want to embrace Islam after we come to certain understandings and so forth. That's why Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent these two Sahaba radiallahu anhum with this message to eradicate the idols of Taif, because Taif was now coming to Islam as an entire city. Among other questions, see, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't tolerate this shirk. Then they asked another question, and we see you performing salah daily, it's a beautiful thing, but Allah yusallu, when we go back to Taif, we don't want to perform salah. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, okay, you asked about the idols, you don't have to demolish it with your own hands. I will excuse you of that, I will get that sorted out. وَأَمَّا الصَّلَاةِ But as far as salah is concerned, فَلَا خَيْرَ فِي دِينٍ لَا صَلَاةَ فِي There's no good in any lifestyle or deen if you do not have salah in it. Meaning, without salah there is no deen. Without salah there is no deen. Allahu Akbar. So we learn, regarding this, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not tolerate. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, salah has to be performed. فَقَالُوا Okay, we are embracing. So سَنُؤْتِيكَهَا وَإِنْ كَانَتْ دَنَاءَ If we find it difficult, we feel putting our heads on the ground is not appropriate, but we will do it. So what we learn from here, when people are coming new, they'll find certain things difficult, but afterwards Allah Ta'ala will make it easy for them. Like in another hadith that clarifies this, that hadith comes in Musnad Ahmad from Uthman bin Abil As. Now Uthman bin Abil As is a great sahabi of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that is also part of the people of Taif. He says, "Anna wafda thaqifin qadimu ala Rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." This delegation of thaqif, they come to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kept them in the masjid liyakuna araqqa liqulubihim. Because the masjid softens the hearts. Then they ask certain questions that they don't want to do this, and they don't want to do that, and they don't want to do this, and they don't want to do that. Among the things they didn't want to do is, you know, you send your sahaba out, go here, establish deen here, go there, strive in Allah's path there, go there, do Allah Ta'ala's deen there. We don't want to do all of this. And I see sahaba, people are coming into Madinah Munawwara giving zakat, that we don't want. And also, another thing we don't want is salah. We don't want to do this prayer. It mustn't be compulsory for us. We'll be Muslim, but no salah. And also, don't appoint a governor over us from some other area. We rather have people we know. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in this discussion with them, he said, okay, I will not send you all out in Allah Ta'ala's path to make jihad, strive here, strive there. And I will not take zakat from you all. And okay, I will point an amir for you all, a person who will be amongst you all, from you all. Then Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, but salah, I cannot remove that duty. Salah has to be performed from by all from day one. وَلَا خَيْرَ فِي دِينٍ لَا رُكُوعَ فِيهِ. How can they be good in life if there's no salah? So we learn from here, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam considered them, not minusing anything from deen, not saying that it's not compulsory in deen. What Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam considered was the fact that they just came. Let them bring salah in their life, and then every other order will come in their life. Like in the riwayat of Abu Dawud, with a sound chain. Wahab said, I asked Jabir radiallahu anhu about the people of Thaqif when they embraced Islam. That they asked certain conditions from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that they don't want to give sadaqah, and they don't want to strive in Allah's path. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam agreed. So is that true? Is that something possible? Did that happen? So Jabir radiallahu anhu says, Allah's Nabi said, he told his sahaba, I am not minusing or removing anything from deen. Deen is pristine and pure and perfect. I just want them to read the kalima, come to the masjid, when they will perform salah, سَيَتَصَدَّقُونَ وَيُجَاهِدُونَ إِذَا أَسْلَمُوا. Once they embrace Islam, then zakat will come in their life. Salah will, charity will come in their life. And striving in Allah Ta'ala's path, they will be the first. سَيَتَصَدَّقُونَ وَيُجَاهِدُونَ إِذَا أَسْلَمُوا. So we learn that, yes, we're not allowed to actually, allow people to do what they want to the deen of Allah Ta'ala, but also we have to bring people into Allah Ta'ala's deen and teach them the deen of Allah Ta'ala slowly, slowly but surely, surely teach them Allah Ta'ala's deen.
One of the delegates of this jamaat was Uthman bin Abil As radiallahu anhu, and he showed a lot of interest. Actually, he would learn so much from the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. And you can see the talab in a person. One is that person who will just learn when he is taught. Others are those who will actually come and ask and want to learn more and want to learn more and more. كان من أحدثهم سنًا. He was the youngest of the entire delegation. وأنه كان أحرصهم على التفقه في الإسلام وتعلم القرآن. He was most eager. أحرصهم. He was the most eager to learn the masail of deen, learn the Quran Kareem. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu says to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Nabi of Allah, this youngster is so eager, he takes every opportunity to learn. He would see Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with some time he would come and learn from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was busy, he would go to the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, he would go to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, go to the Sahaba radiallahu anhu and learn deen from them. And through that barakat, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam appointed him as the Amir of Taif. And also, he learned so much of deen from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam actually taught him how to perform salah, how to lead the salah, the etiquettes of salah. He says, among the last advices Allah's Nabi gave me, when he sent me to Taif, Ya Uthman, tajawwaz fi salah. When you're making imamat, don't read too long. Consider the people. وَقْدُرِ النَّاسَ بِأَضْعَفِهِمْ. Consider and estimate people's understanding and estimate people's capability through the weak amongst them. Because amongst the people, فَإِنَّ فِيهِمُ الْكَبِيرُ وَالضَّعِيفُ وَذَا الْحَاجَةُ وَالصَّغِيرُ. Amongst them
are the elderly, the weak, the needy, and the young. So consider the entire delegation, consider the entire congregation. And then Uthman radiallahu anhu remained in charge of Taif throughout Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's life, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, Umar radiallahu anhu. During Umar radiallahu anhu's reign, Umar radiallahu anhu sent him in the 15th year after Hijrah to Oman and Bahrain. So he went striving in Allah Ta'ala's path, taking deen, establishing cities, striving for Allah Ta'ala's sake all his life. The famous hadith that we always hear at the time of Tahajjud, Allah Ta'ala asks, هَلْ مِن مُسْتَغْفِرٍ فَأَغْفِرَ لَهُ. Who is there to ask for forgiveness, so I will forgive him. Who is there to make dua, so I will answer his dua. Who is there to ask of any need, so I will fulfill his need. And every dua will be accepted, except that of an adulteress who earns through her private part, and that one who is a tax collector. Allah Ta'ala save us. So he is the famous reporter of that hadith. Uthman bin Abi al-As radiallahu anhu. And then just to recap, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to them that you won't have to demolish the idols with your hands. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam promised to send Sahaba. Who did Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam send? Abu Sufyan bin Harb radiallahu anhu and Mughira bin Shu'bah radiallahu anhu. So these two Sahaba, they arrive in Taif. And they gather the entire congregation of Taif. And they give them dawah to Allah. They invite them to Allah. But Mughira radiallahu anhu saw in the people some allegiance to the idols. So he wanted to eradicate that completely. So he gathered them and he said, now I'll be removing this fitna and this facade and these idols. So he actually now did something humorous. So he took an axe, and he was a very, very humorous individual. So as he, with his axe, is about to strike the idol to eradicate it, he pretended to fall. So he pretended like he fell and the idol did something to him. And now people were in shock and started screaming, yeah, we told you that you try and touch these idols. This is what's going to happen to you. And that's what's going to happen to you. And now he pretended for a short while and then he gets up and he laughs at them. He says, still you think that makhluk can do something that is inanimate can benefit or harm you in any way? What is wrong with you? And then he demolished it and destroyed it. And he invited them to Allah Ta'ala. And he made them Muslims. And he called them to Allah Ta'ala. And he made effort there, Mughira radiallahu anhu and Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu. And also wisdom, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent those people who were respected by the people of Taif. Mughira radiallahu anhu being from amongst them, and Abu Sufyan being the senior of Makkah, radiallahu anhum, and they were respected by these people. So what we learn? That Sahaba radiallahu anhum used their position for Allah's sake, for Allah's deen, for Allah's pleasure. If Allah gave us honor, if Allah gave us position, if Allah gave us status, what is shukr for that? If Allah gave us health, Allah gave us beauty, shukr and appreciation for these blessings is to use it for Allah's sake. Utilize these blessings for the sake of Allah, for the deen of Allah, to uplift Allah's name, to uplift Allah Ta'ala's deen. So Allah give us tawfiq to learn how to deal with humanity, how to treat humanity, how to bring people slowly, how to be considerate with people, when to be strict, when to be soft and polite. And also, we must never ever compromise the deen of Allah Ta'ala. We cannot change deen for people, but also we have to work with people wisely. Allah Ta'ala, give us tawfiq to actually do it correctly. And Allah Ta'ala enable us to emulate the beautiful lives of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. And Allah give us tawfiq to learn and understand their lives. And understand the mizaj of our beautiful sharia and deen. Barakallahu feekum wa sallallahu ala nabiyil ummi bi rahmatika ya rahman rahim.